You are listening to the Stetson Students Podcast, where we post all of the series and messages from our student ministry. We are a ministry connected to Stetson Baptist Church, where we are for DeLand and for Jesus. If you would like to learn anything more about our ministries, please check out our social medias or go to stetsonbaptistchurch.org.
I don't know about you. Has anybody ever like moved schools before? Okay, so has anybody what grades were you when you moved from one school to the other? Just throw some out. Kindergarten, fifth, huh? What was over here? Fourth. Okay, so yeah. Well then you actually could relate to me a little bit. So when I was in the third grade, or when I was going into the third grade, I moved schools, and so you know that that can kind of be a little scary sometimes when you're moving from one school to the next, especially if it's from a different city. And so I was moving to a different city, and so when I got there, we started talking about things that I had never really talked about at my other school. The other school was like not a very good school. We weren't really learning much. I'm not going to try to throw them under the bus too much. But then we started going to a school where they were actually teaching stuff. And when I got there, we were in history. I remember this. And they entered a terminology for me, and it was called bartering. Does anybody know what bartering is? Okay. Well, hey, it sounds like I learned this in the third grade, so more hands should be up than they are, but that's okay. Man, all that bartering means, it just means trading. And so like if I was trading something for something else, so I liked a game called Catan. I don't know if anybody knows the game Catan, but it's basically to barter would be if I was like giving you stone or giving you, I don't know, some like sheep or whatever, and you gave me something else for it. So say I gave you stone and you gave me sheep, we traded, that would be bartering. One thing for another, no money, just simple trade. And so meant to illustrate this idea of bartering, what they asked us to do is they said, bring something from your house to here, something that's not super valuable, but something you want to trade. And what we're going to do is for the class time, for about 10, 15 minutes, we're going to trade. We're going to barter with one another. And so I always remember I brought the movie Open Season, the DVD. I always remember. Shout out Open Season if you haven't seen it. Great film, great movie. And so I remember I brought it and I was like, this is the greatest thing ever. And so there was like four or five people that kept trying to trade with me, but I looked at what they had and I was like, I don't really want that. I want something better. I had like my eye on a couple other things. Well, the time like runs out and they basically are like, hey, sit down, you know, we're done. That's it. And I remember I sat there with my Open Season DVD and I bawled my eyes out because I didn't trade with anybody. And at the point, like it got to the end of the day and there was like, I don't really want to trade with you. And so for the remaining time of the class, I cried like a baby. It was wild. This is one of the most embarrassing moments for me. So I'm letting you in on a lot of things right now for me. But I remember I cried and I cried and I cried. We got to the end of the day and we're all leaving. And there was a kid, I always remember his name. His name was Colton. Colton got a mini pinball machine. He had traded his way up to a mini pinball machine. And we're in line about to walk out to go home. And I remember he looked at me and said, hey, Nate, let me have your DVD and I'm going to give you my mini pinball machine. The smile that crept on my face. And it was like a Friday. And so, dude, I can't tell you, I played with that mini pinball machine all weekend. But the fact is, why I'm telling you this is, man, Colton earned this mini pinball machine. He didn't bring it, but he earned it because he played the game. He bartered, he traded, and somehow he traded his way up to this mini pinball machine. And I did not. I didn't play the game. I didn't do it. And so I got stuck with something. I didn't like what I got stuck with. Yet, by the end of the day, Colton decided, I'm going to give you what I've earned, even though you haven't, because you need it or because you want it. And so, really, what happened here is Colton gave what was called grace. Colton gave grace. And I know when you hear the word grace, first off, you probably think it, like it's a very, very Christian term. But I don't know about you. Whenever I hear the word grace, there's another word that I usually connect to it. Y'all know what it is? Mercy, right? You always hear grace and mercy. And sometimes I feel like we can get these two terms or these two things confused. Grace and mercy. What's the difference? Basically, I'll put it up here. Mercy is not getting the punishment you deserve. Mercy is not getting the punishment you deserve. When I think of mercy, I think of the idea of like, if I turned in my homework late and the teacher didn't penalize me for it. So like, I turned it in a few days late and still I got 100 on it. To me, that's mercy. She showed me mercy. I deserved a punishment. She didn't give it to me. Then there's grace. And what grace is, it's getting a reward that you don't deserve. When I think of grace, I think of this story, but I also think of like, if I was partnered in a group project with the smartest kid and I got an A, even though I didn't do any work, many of you know what I'm talking about. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you might be the smartest kid that people are trying to partner up with, right? But it's this idea that I got a reward that I didn't deserve because I didn't earn it and I didn't work for it. Again, think back to Colton giving me what he had earned, even though I did not deserve it. And the reason that we're going to talk about grace tonight, and that's really what we're going to focus on, and the reason is because grace is key to our faith. The idea of grace, this concept of grace, this idea of getting a reward that we didn't earn is key to our faith. And the reason is, man, without grace, there is no gospel. There is no gospel of Jesus. Jesus showed us the greatest picture of grace when he came and did what he did. We're going to talk a little bit about that in a little bit. But again, man, that is why grace is so important to us. But we're going to see grace in a new way, in really two ways. Again, as we're walking through this For Everyone series, each week we're going to talk about a characteristic or attribute that is for everyone. And so tonight we're talking about how grace is for everyone. And when I think about this, I think there's really two people that we need to mention when it comes to whose grace is for everyone. All right? I'm just going to talk about two different people's grace that is for everyone. The first, and probably the most important, is that God's grace is for everyone. So God's grace is for everyone. We're going to see this in the book of Luke. So if you have your Bibles, if you don't have a Bible, there's one under you. And so open it up to the book of Luke. Luke is one of the gospels. So it's going to be in the later half of your Bible. If you need to, there's a table of contents. Is that me? Okay, well, I hope that stops. So if you need to, there's a table of contents in the front. So feel free to use that. We're going to be in Luke 15. And so 15 is the chapter that's going to be the big bold number. And then we're going to be in verses 11 through 32, which is the smaller number. As you turn there, I'm going to kind of give you some context. You heard this last week, but I think it's still good to walk through. The book of Luke was written by the guy named, who would have thought? Luke. Luke was a partner in ministry or a partner in sharing the gospel with a guy named Paul. Many of you probably know Paul. Paul wrote a great portion of the Bible and the New Testament. He wrote it to a guy named Theophilus. So we don't know much about Theophilus. We know that Paul or Luke wrote this gospel to him, and we know that the reason that he wrote this gospel was to tell the world who Jesus was. So that should have bought you enough time to get to Luke 15, right? Cool. Hey, I'm going to read it. We're gonna stop at portions, and I'm going to kind of re-talk about what we read. So starting in verse 11, Luke 15, it says this. Oh, let me tell you, first off, this is what is called the parable of the prodigal son. So basically, Jesus got questioned, and what he did to answer the question is he told a story. Kind of like we just talked about with Colton, that's basically what Jesus is doing right here. When it's taught a parable, it's basically just a story to kind of tell a reason or a meaning. And he says this, and he said, Jesus, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had, took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to be one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. So basically, there's these two sons, and the younger, the hotshot of them, came up to their dad and said, hey, you know the inheritance that you're supposed to give me when you die? I want it early. I want it now. And so for some reason, the father was like, sure, why not? And so the father gives him his inheritance. He divides what he has, and he gives his inheritance to the younger brother. And that brother leaves and basically goes to the next big city, and he just parties it away. He goes and he wastes it on worldly things and just parties and parties and parties until he runs out of money and he runs out of resources. And when that happens, it says a famine hit, which basically means like the world shut down. Think COVID, right? That happens and he's like, man, I'm left without money. I mean, I'm the poor of the poor. And he says, it said that he basically hired himself out to just feed pigs. And he got so bad that he looked at what the pigs were eating and he said, that kind of looks yummy. That kind of looks like it would actually feed me well. So man, he's in the lowest of places. And the story continues in verse 17. It says this. But when the son came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired slaves and servants. So basically, he looks at where he's at in life, and he goes, man, this is... I can remember that those who served my father in his house, man, they were given so much better treatment than I'm at right now. Man, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to own my mistake. I'm going to come to my father and say, hey, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. Please forgive me. I'm sorry for what I did. I shouldn't have left. I shouldn't have done it the way I did it. But then he says, I'm not going to ask to be back in the status of son. Rather, I'm just going to ask, can I be a servant? Can I be the lowest in this house? Because then I know I'll at least get treated better than I'm being treated right now. And then what happens is really awesome. It says this in verse 20. And the son arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate, for my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. So the son does exactly what he said he was going to do. He walks back and he plans to ask his dad for forgiveness and be treated as a servant. But before he can even make it home, the father runs and tackles him and celebrates and hugs him and kisses him. And in that moment, the son, you know, pushes off and says, Father, I'm sorry. I sinned against heaven and I sinned against you. Please just make me a servant. But the father looks at him and says, we are going to celebrate you. And basically what happens is the father throws this elaborate and beautiful party for the son. And he says, man, slaughter the fattened calf. Basically, he's like, man, take what's most prized possession to me, slaughter it, and let's feast on it. Because my son was dead and is now alive. He was lost and is now found. And what we see in this story is the picture of grace. It is this prodigal son who is left, who has wasted his life and his earnings away. And he comes back home and he says, I don't deserve anything. What I deserve is to be the low of the low. Please give me that. But the father looks at him and says, no, I will give you a greater gift and reward than you've ever had. I'm going to give you this undeserved reward, this undeserved gift. Man, that is the picture of grace. And more so, this is what God has done for you. This is what God has done for you. Let me ask you this. Who has ever heard this term? It's okay if you haven't. Saved by faith through grace. Who's heard, or maybe it backwards, saved through faith or saved through grace by faith. Who's heard something along the likes? Yeah. Man, it's a very Christian term. It's something that you're going to see in the Bible, and it's a very true term. Man, this is what God has done for you. He has saved you by faith through grace. Let me tell you all this means. What this means is that you've been saved through grace. is this idea that you've been saved through the literal life, the literal death, and the literal resurrection and rising from the dead of Jesus Christ. It means that, man, there was a wedge between you and God because of sin, because of us doing wrong, because of us doing things our own way, of us living a life that is not the way that God has called us to. There was a broken wedge between us. There's this idea that Jesus literally came, the Son of God, came down, lived the perfect life, meaning he never sinned, he never did what was wrong. And he was put to death because somebody had to pay the price for our sin. Somebody had to pay the price because we messed up. And Jesus said, I will do it. And not only that, he defeated death. He defeated the grave. He defeated sin on your behalf. And the grace portion of it is, because he did that, he now looks at you and says, you don't deserve what I'm offering. You don't deserve a life back in right relationship with me, but I'm going to give it to you. He says, because of Jesus, because of what I did, your reward is heaven. Your reward is heaven. What is heaven? Heaven is eternity with Jesus. Heaven is eternity back in the correct relationship with God. The God who created everything created you in a perfect purpose. And even though our rebellion, Jesus said, because of what I'm going to do for you, your reward is that you get to be back in the correct relationship with me, and you get to live eternity with me. That is through grace. It's because of what Jesus did, not because of what you did. But what about the faith part? Man, I'm saved by faith, but through grace. The faith part is the idea that your calling is to accept and believe that Jesus literally did what he did. That he literally was who he said he was. And you're to follow him. You're to follow him. When I think of following Jesus, I think of it this way. I think of if I came up to you and I said, hey, so-and-so, I've got $1 million that I want to give you. But all you got to do is you got to follow me, because we have to go get the $1 million. Man, if I said that to you, first off, my hope is that you'd probably say, okay. If not, probably more the better for it. I know for me, if someone said, hey, I got $1 million for you, all you got to do is follow me to get it, I'm going to follow him wherever he goes. What does that mean? It means when he walks away, I'm going to walk with him. When he stops, I'm going to stop. When he lays down, I'm going to lay down. When he eats, I'm going to eat. I'm going to follow him everywhere he goes. I'm going to be right by his side. I'm going to do everything that he's doing. Man, that is what it is to follow Jesus, is to say, I'm going to do what he's asked me to do. I'm going to live the life that he calls me to do. The things that he tells me not to do, I'm not going to do them. The things that he tells me to start doing, I'm going to start doing them. That is what it is to have faith in Jesus. But it is through grace that we have the opportunity to do this. Is through what he did, is through God's grace. Again, an undeserved reward that you are given, not because of what you did, but because of what he did. Like the prodigal son and the father. God's grace is for you. God's grace is for me. Our role, our position is to accept that and follow him because of it. But not only that, it's not just that God's grace is for everyone. But it's also that your grace is for everyone. Your grace is for everyone. See, the story does not end there, but he picks up and he says this. I'm just going to summarize it for you. Basically, what happens is the older son comes back home and he sees that there's this party. He's been working out in the field and this party is happening. And he comes up to his servant. He goes, man, why is there a party happening? And he goes, your younger sibling, your brother has come home and your father's slaughtered the fattened calf and he's throwing this grand party for him. And so the older sibling actually gets mad. And so the father comes out and he goes, why are you mad? What's wrong? And the older sibling says, I've obeyed you. I've stood next to you. I've worked for you. Yet you have never thrown me a party like this. But the son who has gone and wasted everything you gave him, The moment he steps home, you throw him this elaborate party. Why? And the father goes, son, everything that I have is yours. But your son, he lost that. And though he was once lost, he is now found. Though he was once dead, he is now alive. So there's this beautiful thing that we see. That the father looks at the son and he says, man, what I have is yours. You've already gotten my grace. But your son, or I'm sorry, your brother, he did not, but now he does. What we get to take away from this is that grace, the grace of God that's been given to us, was never meant to be hoarded or held onto. We are not called to just hold tight to his grace. But what we are called to is to share it and to celebrate it. We are to share his grace. We are to be graceful people, but we're also to tell others about God's grace. It was never meant to be something that we hold on to. It was always meant to be something that we shared. Not only shared, but celebrated when somebody else finds his grace. Can I tell you, sometimes I think about this, about being a graceful person, about giving somebody an undeserved reward. Maybe it's my attention, maybe it's my forgiveness. I can't tell you, that's so hard. I know it's not easy. Everything in me, I just want to be very prideful or very selfish and give them what they earned, give them what they're owed. If they're mean to me, I'm going to be mean back. If they're disrespectful to me, I'm going to be disrespectful back. If they gossip about me, I'm going to gossip back. And that is not the calling that you have on your life. That is not what you've been told to do. And it is not easy, but let me tell you, it is also not optional. We don't get to choose. Like, we are told to be graceful people. And so, as a close, real, I think there's two things I need to hear. The first is, man, if you're a Christian, you need to know two things. You need to rest in the unearned grace of God. And if you are a Christian, you're sealed. That's it, man. There's nothing you can do to lose the grace of God. If you are following him, you are sealed. Rest in that. Man, you live in a world that is trying to tell you so many things, and really, man, it's just littered with anxiety and stress. I think we could all use a little bit of rest. I don't know about you. The beautiful thing is you get to rest, that your salvation, your eternity is sealed by Jesus. The other thing you need to know is that, man, you need to be ready and willing to give grace to everyone you're surrounded by. To your friends, to your family, to the people who annoy you. So maybe it's your siblings. Man, to the people that have hurt your feelings. People who talk bad about you. Whoever it is, man, you need to be ready and willing to give them grace. But hey, maybe I'm in here and you hear me talk and you go, Nate, I'm not a follower of Jesus. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that is. And my calling to you, word to you, is this is an invitation to come and see what Jesus can do for you. To drop your shame, to drop your guilt, to drop your efforts of trying to fix yourself, and to give it to Jesus. Say, amen. I don't know what this looks like, but I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to start following you. I'm telling you, this will radically change your life. What you get is a beautiful reward of knowing that I could never earn this, but I never have to. I can never earn this. I could never earn what Jesus is going to offer me, but I don't have to because he did it freely and he did it willingly. Hey, we're going to have a time of worship to finish. And I just ask that you worship how you feel you need to, whether that's standing and singing, whether that's been just sitting at your chair and praying, or if that's coming talking to me, talking to Pastor Zach, talking to any of our adult leaders in the room. We'd love to talk to you if you have any questions or need any prayer.
Thank you for listening. We hope you have a great week and that you are a light for Jesus. Grace and peace.